privilege to welcome Charlie Wong to the pulpit to preach tonight. Let everyone pay attention to what he has to say and see what God has put on his heart. Charlie, why don't you go ahead and come on up.
Yes, thank you very much for coming tonight. I think it shows that you are faithful, not only to God, but also to pastor when he's out of town. Yeah. This morning, Brother Jess talked about challenging us to be faithful to God and also to count our, the cost to follow Jesus and to be prepared to run a marathon. I think I will continue that message to talk about how to be faithful. We know that one of the God's attributes is his faithfulness, and he wants us to be faithful too. And through Bible, you can see God loves his faithful servants, and he can only use his faithful servant. He can use anybody, but he loves to use his faithful servant for his kingdom and his glory. But a faithful man, who can find? Let's turn to Proverbs 26. Chapter 20, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Can Jeremy read aloud for us?
Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find.
Okay, let's start with a prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus, our Savior, we thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you that you give us a spiritual home, house, and thank you for our pastor, and also thank you that for your faithful servants who want to come here to together to worship you, to learn about your Bible, and help us to learn, to open our mind. Help us to understand how to be faithful to you and to your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. One way to be faithful to God is to prayer, to talk to God. And our pastor taught us how to pray too. And one prayer, sometimes I already have some image in mind. How God should answer me. Just like my kids, when they come to ask me, Daddy, give me candy. They already expect me to give them candy. But sometimes I said, no, you cannot have candy. Sometimes I say, yes, you can have this candy. Sometimes I say, wait, not right now. So that's how God answer our prayer. And but when my prayer is not answered in the way I expected, sometimes I start to have a doubt and start to complain quietly in my heart. No one see it. So last May, I took my whole family, went back to China to a mission trip to share the homeschooling journey experience with some Chinese families. During the first night, my daughter, she had bleeding in her nose, and she lost a lot of blood. And so we were panic. On the second day, I sent my rest of my family to share that homeschooling experience, and I took Jasmine to hospital. So I worried about Jasmine and worried about my wife, because we were supposed to teach 4 hours. She teach 4 hours, I teach 4 hours, but now she had to teach the 8 hours. And you know my wife, she is quite present. She doesn't like to stand in front of people to talk. So I pray to God, kind of urgent prayer. I said, God, help Jasmine to get better right away so that I can focus on the purpose of our trip. But God didn't answer my prayer in the way I expected. So I start to have doubt, and I start to kind of, I don't know, to have a little bit of complaint in my heart. So, but a faithful man is not so. And we all know the how pastor start to plant this church. Barman girls, keep me honest. If I say something incorrect, correct me. So I think about 17 years ago, right, pastor and his family come to here. 18. Oh, sorry, I miscounted one. So they come here to start a church. And as you know, this is very hard ground. And after many, many years, the hard work, and still the church didn't grow. And many times, pastor preaching to his own family. I think if it were me, I already quit long time ago. I would have quit long time ago. I said maybe God, I made mistake, or maybe God made mistake. But our pastor is not so. I think to some extent, our pastor is kind of stumper, and he kept going. But we thank to God for our pastor. Otherwise, it's a huge loss to us, right? And so our pastor worked by faith, not by sight. And that's a faith man should do. And also, this remind me another faithful man in the Bible. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 6 to 10. Corinthians chapter 12, 6 to 10. SD, can you read his numbers?
For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this one thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Verse 12.
Yes, okay. Thank you. So, What did Paul pray to God for? Yes, how many times did he pray for?
Three times.
What's God's answer? And how did Paul respond? We can see that Paul cried to God to remove that thorn in his flesh. But God answered no, clear and no. And God permitted the messenger of the Satan to torture his faithful servant, Paul. But Paul had to endure the pain in his body and to stay faithful. And so during this hardship, Paul stayed faithful to God and to his calling, and he didn't quit. And also he was taught by God that God's grace was sufficient for his suffering. And God's strength made perfect in his weakness. So it was this Saint Paul who wrote how many books in the New Testament?
16.
About 19, I think. 16 to 19, maybe. It was the Saint Paul who started many churches during the first century. So again, we can see that Paul walked by faith, not by sight. Yeah. And just like Paul, we face hardship or suffering in our lives. And not only that, as Christian, I think the persecution is coming. And I come to this country in 1992. And just in this short 20-some years, we can see the things happening so fast, but to the wrong direction. And I think during our lifetime, I can see that the persecution of Christians is coming. So how should we prepare? How do we react when we face the persecution, suffering, hardship? So what do we do? Remember the one Okay. That, before that, let me share my story real quick. About 10 years ago, I lost my first job. I was forced out of my first job, and so one night I come home. We had Jeremy only, so my wife greeted me, but I ignored her and rushed to the backyard. I cried to God. I said, "What happened?" And I said, "I was your children. I believe you. I accepted you just a few years ago. Why did you let this happen to me? And it was not fair." So I don't have time to talk about details. So I kind of start to have doubt if the God truly loved me and if He He had the ability to protect me. But a faithful man, a faithful lady, is not so. And remember the one prayer request from from this past Thursday about the Sue's aunt, Cassie, who is very sick, who is has been losing weight, and so she is in urgent need of our prayer. So afterwards, I talked to Sue and get some story about her aunt. Actually, Cassie has been sick for her whole life. And not only that, when she was young, she lost three babies right after the baby was born. I think that's a tremendous tragedy after tragedy. As I think many people, especially me, I would have a doubt. I would start to complain or to lost my faith in God, but she didn't, and she has been always in good spirit because she has accepted her hardship with grace, and she trusted in God, and I think it's not an easy thing to do, and not only that, she choose to pray instead of complain, and so she become prayer warrior. And also because her response to her hardship, she has been impacting many, many people around her. And she become a blessing to so many people. And Cassie walked by faith, not by sight. Yeah. And in the Bible, there are so many faithful men and women. And if you look at the Hebrew chapter 11, you will find many of them. One of them is Joseph, and as you know, Joseph, he got so many mistreatment from his own brothers, siblings, and from his boss' wife, and so on and so forth. He got so many mistreatment, persecutions, but he stayed faithful. He never complained because he trusted God meant good, although the man tried to do evil to him, but God was powerful. God can protect him.
That's
right. Yep. Just because his faithfulness, God could use him to deliver his people. So Joseph walked by faith, not by sight. So can God find us so faithful that he can use us in this wicked time, wicked ages? I think when faithfulness show up in how we treat his scriptures, God so loved us. He not only give his son, also he give his holy scriptures.
Amen.
But sadly today, more and more people choose to reject the Bible, and some think the Bible was outdated. Some think the Bible is not relevant anymore. My question is that if everybody around you is ridicule the Bible, if everybody reject the Bible, will you still read your Bible? Will you still be faithful to the Bible? Yeah. Let's turn to Romans 10. chapter 10, verse 17. Then you can read.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah, according to this Bible, Bible verse, if we want to have faith in God, we need to be faithful to read our Bible every day. So before I come to this church, I read my Chinese Bible here and there, but not every day. Since I come to this church, and because our pastor teach very clear message, every message he challenges us, he challenges us to do something to change our life. So I start to read the Bible. And also, I know here I cannot continue to read Chinese Bible. I have to read King James Version. And as you know, English is not my mother tongue. So when I first read the King James Version, I had such a hard time because there's so many words we don't use anymore. So I need to guess what does that mean. Even that simple word like lo, di, I need to guess. I think it's very difficult for me. But I kept going. And not only that, I also bought the CD so I can listen to. And although I'm very slow reader, I was reading less than 200 words per minute. That's very slow. But I think I kept reading. And these days, I can read through the King James Version 2 times in a year.
Amen.
Yeah, I think if I can do it, everybody here can do it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I think I love to read Bible because in only 4 years, I felt that I have learned some wisdom, some knowledge. I start to, especially in the marriage and in parenting, I start to ignore some expert advice. I start to trust in God. Because some expert advice can harm our children, can harm our life, marriage. And I think it's so ironic that today the Bible are not allowed in public school, but they're encouraging in prisons. I think that's very, very funny. I think if our kids all are encouraged to read the Bible, I think very likely they won't end up in a prison. So we don't need to. So Bible teaches us about the God, about his moral code, and also about how to get saved. But when we reject God, reject his moral code, and reject his knowledge, sometimes we will speak some stupid things and do some stupid foolish things. And the Barman girls finally had a Facebook. So I'm very curious to went the Facebook to check the postings. One of postings got my attention. Recently, our state talking about the open bathroom policy, right? And so they have some debate. And this one reporter went to UW campus to interview some students. Those students are very smart because otherwise they couldn't get into university. But the answer to some simple questions sounds so stupid, and they don't have even common sense. And the reporter said, "If I told you I'm 7 years old, will you believe that me?" Some just give the wrong, very strange answers. I think, thank God, I don't want to send my kids to the university to waste the time, waste the money. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Brooke, can you read that verse? Okay. Oh, can you read, Stephen?
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children.
Yeah, that's very serious warning. So that's not forget the law of God. Let's not forget his. Let's not reject his knowledge. Instead, let's have a desire for the sincere milk of his word as newborn baby, so that we can grow thereby. We need to read his Bible in order to grow spiritually. Yeah. And one more verse. Let's turn to Psalm 119, verse 105. Daniel, can you read that one?
Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Yeah. So we talk about we need to be faithful to God. And when our prayer is not answered, we need to stay faithful. And when we go through that hardship, persecution, we need to stay faithful. Also, we need to stay faithful to read his Bible. 3 weeks ago, the one brother from Grandview Baptist Church come here. His name is Brian. I forgot his last name. Right? He what?
Malcolm.
Okay, thank you. He shared his personal testimony, his stories. And he reminded us to build, to become a wise builder. So to build our house on a strong rock. And in Matthew 7:24, this brother used that verse. The verse says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So reading God's words is wonderful, but if we don't do anything, we are just like a foolish builder, build our house on sand, so which cannot stand against any storm. So we need to apply the biblical principles in our daily life. God will bless us, and he will give us more responsibilities. We have a friend, and he has a grandson. He just turned 18 last September. 2 days after his birthday, he got his driver's license. And then another 2 days later, he got a job. And this young man, he was raised up in a Christian family. And he has been studying Bible. Also, he used the Bible principle in his life. So, although there are many the job applicants, he was chosen because he has wonderful people skills. And also, he was faithful. So, he got job from Delta, and they let him to work full-time there. And his position is very low, but he worked very diligently. And even when his boss is not around, he still works very hard. And after his boss learned about he has some computer skills, he was moved into the IT department just in a few months. And then from September to December, he got a promotion. And his new boss put him into charge of a group of people. And just think about this, 18 years old, got a job, he got a promotion. And then he told his boss, after 1 year, he wants to go back to college to have some degree. And the Delta make arrangement, said because he need to go to different city to have education. They made an arrangement. He can go there to have education. At the same time, he can work part-time for Delta. So when you are faithful in small things, God will open door for you. God will give you more responsibilities. So this young man's name is Caleb. So Caleb worked by faith, not by sight. So I think his story reminds me of the tenant parable recorded in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 through 30. I don't think we have time to read the whole thing, but you can see when the two servants, one with five talents and another with two talents, after all worked hard to double the money, the master's answer is the same. his lord said unto him, to either of these servants, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy lord. So as young man and as old man, we need to be faithful in our duties. And like Jeremy, he wants to become lawyer, but first he needs to watch his teachers very well. Be faithful in small things. And if you cannot do the small things, you won't be able to do the big things. Okay, God will not let you to do the big things. So this reminds me of one young man in the Bible, the Timothy. He was taught about God's words when he was very young by his mother and his grandmother. And he used principle in his life. And he become the Paul's spiritual son and become his good partner. Let's turn to Psalm 119, verse 9 and verse 11. Daniel, can you read?
9 and 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Yes, I think this verse clear taught us we need to apply God's words in our life. After we read, and if you guess even one biblical principle, you should apply to your life immediately. Yeah. Okay, young people here, I think very soon you guys will get married to either a godly young man or virtuous lady. And one area God wants us to be faithful is in marriage, in our marriage. Because in Bible, God often used the marriage to talk about his relationship with his chosen people. And it was Israel people in the Old Testament, and it is Christian in the New Testament. And also when the Israel people choose to forsake God and choose to worship the idols, God, what did God call them? Yeah, whoremongers, also harlots, adulterers, and unfaithful wives. And also in Hebrews 13, verse 4. Can someone turn there to find the verse? Okay, Jeremy, can you read? Yeah, I think the divorce is not the only issue here, also is in China. Because I think main reason is because the Hollywood movies. You see, in movies, it looks so fun to fall in love with anyone, strangers. And also it looks so fun to drink in a bar or at a party. But the movie never showed the consequences. And three weeks ago now, the Byron girls and my kids went to the Wesley Holmes. They present a beautiful, beautiful music concert. So at a concert, I had a chance to talk to some people, and I met with one old couple. They have been married for 67 years, and they still looked very happy, and together, sitting together, holding hands. So I start to ask them, what are your secret to stay married, and still happily married? So I learned some secret. Okay, there are four secrets to stay to have a great marriage. I don't know time. Daniel, what's the time? Okay. The four secrets. I think in one of the Sunday school, I shared the first secret. First secret is appreciate our spouse strengths. And God created us differently. My wife, she is a brake of her car. I'm the gas pedal. But if we are both best cattle pedal, the car will run into accident. If we are both the brake, we will run. We cannot go anywhere. So I think Bible teaches us we should accept that you both are different, but we are same. We are members of the same body. We should accept and celebrate our differences. And yeah, my wife, she has very, very good memory, and I have very poor memory. So every time when we have an argument or fight, I will never bring up anything happening in the past. Because if I do, she even remember the sentence that I said to her, and in what tongue I said to her. I cannot even remember the things happening yesterday, so I never bring up that thing. So I just accept she is different than me. Yeah. Another secret is bear each other's weakness, and so my wife and I was raised differently. So one thing. She's not here. Okay, that's okay. She does not have a very good planning skills, and especially about going to some place, coming to church or going to the music practice group lesson. She didn't plan very well, so sometimes the kids have to have a meal in the car because they have to rush, and that caused me some headaches, because especially when we need to come to church, I don't want to be late because I don't want pastor to look at me. In the beginning, I yelled at her, then I think one time I read one Bible that my wife is a weaker vessel. I should bear her. Yeah, bear her a weakness. sorry, she is not here. Okay, let's stop. Another secret is forgive each other's transgressions or bad habits. She is not here, so I can use another example. My wife, she is a nice person, and just like my daughter and one of my son, and they feel more energetic after 11. But I'm the morning person. I want to go to bed early, and we have a fight against this many times. I said, can you just go brush your teeth and get ready? And then you can go to check your email and listen to music and learn something, and just don't want after I had one dream. Then you come up to wake me up. That's not nice. Yeah, but we have to forgive our spouse, right? And we were made differently. And so young ladies, you need to know. Fell in love is great, but marriage is a long journey. And you have to bear with each other. And even that beautiful lady, handsome man, may not meet your expectation every time. Yeah. And the last secret, I don't have time to go to details, but just briefly touch each secret. One secret is to remember our spouse's blessings, the good things that they have done to us. And the my wife have done so many good things to me. That's why I can forgive her transgresses or bad habits or all those things. The one thing he did for me is she has been taking very, very good care of myself and my children. So when I was in college, I was look very thin and look very ugly because I didn't have a good nutrition. And since I'm married to my wife, she has been taking very good care of me. And after I married her, I don't remember I have any serious disease. And even I don't have a cold. And only occasionally, every few years, I have one small one. That's how she has been improved my health, my body. And yeah, she has been done many other good things to me. So I think we should remember our spouse's blessings, and especially the good things they have done for you and for your family, and thank them and appreciate them. Okay. So what will you do if you know tomorrow is your last day on this earth? What will you do if God says you have only one day to live? Then you will be gone. What will you do? What?
Go soul winning.
What else?
Pack.
For what?
Leave
this earth. You will die. After you have only one day to live, then you die. What will you do? What? Yes. So if you truly believe tomorrow is your last day on this earth, you will live differently. Because many times we think we have many days, we have forever to live. So that's why sometimes we spend time on Facebook, many hours on Facebook, many hours in front of a TV, many hours to play games. But if we truly believe that tomorrow is our last day, now we will choose much differently, right? And I think let's think about that questions, and let's choose to stay and be faithful, stay faithful to God, and that our true value, also stay faithful to our true value system, to our true priority in our life. And let's encourage each other to live our life each day as our last day, as if our last day. Amen. I hope it's not last day for us. Okay, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Charlie. That was actually a very, very good sermon. That came out wrong. That was a very good sermon. Thank you so much for doing that. I didn't want to sound surprised there.